Thank you, Jennifer. And I'll say very quickly that if anything good got done in those almost 19 years around here, it was because of God's faithfulness. And all the glory should go to Him. And we thank the Lord for His blessings. Take your Bibles now. This is a Bible-believing church, and we carry our Bibles or phones, whatever you got. iPad, I don't know what you got out there, but we do go to the Bible, amen? Amen. And by the way, I want to do this little disclaimer. My son-in-law, when he said the foolishness of preaching, some of you don't understand, he didn't say foolish preaching. There's a big difference, all right? It's biblical, the foolishness, the simplicity of preaching. So since they laughed in both services about that, I thought I might be good to explain that. Some of mine has been foolish preaching too, though. I want to ask the question as a title of the sermon, what are you doing with your light? What are you doing with your light? Matthew 5, beginning with verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Matthew 5, 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, when Christ was here on earth, what did he say about himself? He said, I'm the light of the world. That's while he was down here. And then he went away. And where is Christ today? He's at the right hand of the Father, right? He's there making intercession for his children and whatever else Jesus does up in heaven. But he said when he went away to his disciples and to us as followers, you are the light of the world. Now you are the light of the world. And think of yourself as an individual. Jesus said in John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But now you are the light of the world. We're the light of the world. Verse 14, he says that very clearly. And then he says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I remember years ago when I first went into Chattanooga, Tennessee, on the main highway going in there. And I was not used to the mountains, but I was mesmerized as I looked way off yonder up on a mountain, and there were just lights all over the place. And you could see them from where we were, miles and miles from it. It was sitting up on a mountain, and you could see all of those lights. And that's what God is saying. You're the light of the world. And he's saying that that's not supposed to be hidden. The light is supposed to be lifted up, and people are supposed to be able to see the light. And I was talking to my friend, Rudy Holland, back then. He attended Tennessee Temple University, and I asked him about the place, and he explained to me what it was there and why it was there and what it was. But I always noticed that light, and still when I go in there, I notice that place upon that building. And I always think of this verse of Scripture where he's saying that we're not to hide that. A city way up on a hill ought to be seen. That's what he's saying to you and me as light. Then in verse 15, he says, don't put your candle under a bushel. So here, let's just presume I've invited a number of people to my house, and it's dark outside. And I say, y'all come on in. That's a good Texas expression, isn't it? Y'all come on in. And whenever they start in, they're saying, well, it's a little dim in here, sir. And they stumble over some of the furniture and all of that. And I said, well, I lit a candle. I mean, I was sure that I lit a candle. Well, where's the candle? Well, it's under a bushel basket over there. Well, no wonder we can't see. Would you mind going over there and picking it up and letting the light shine so we can see what's going on around us? That's sort of what he's saying right there. The very same type of thing. Don't hide it under a bushel. We're not supposed to do that. Light is to shine, verse 16 says. In other words, it's to be manifested. radiate in brilliance the light. You're a light. Are you radiating in brilliance as a believer? He's saying that's what we should do. So what is the light? Well, one thing he describes in verse 16, the light is good works. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. He puts those things together. Light, good works, light. That shows something. That's what he's talking about in this case, and that is our good works. Now, listen, you are not justified before God by your good works. Amen. Be sure you get that. You're not justified. God does not receive you and welcome you into heaven because of your good works. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, trust in Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You'll never get to heaven by trying to be the best person you can. Some, that doesn't bother them. But anyway, you're just not going to get there by that. But the justification he's talking about here is as people look at your life, as they're watching your life, they're looking at you, that justification, you say, I'm a Christian, then your works, your life ought to back it up. Amen? Amen. Ought to back it up. You're the light of the world. And the light should back it up. And he's talking about our good works. 1 John 1:5, 6, and 7, he says, we're justified before men, walk in the light if you claim to be saved. 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say we're Christians, we're walking in fellowship with God, and we're walking in darkness, we're not walking in the light like we should, we are lying and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I'm glad that when we fail, we can go confess it and he'll cleanse us. But we need to keep the light shining. We need to know that we have fellowship with him, and the fellowship is in holiness. That's what light is a symbol of. Amen. Read in the book of 1 John, the first chapter or two there, and you'll find out that light is a symbol of holiness. You can't mess light up. You can't do anything to hinder light or hurt light as far as its purity. It's a sign, a symbol of holiness. So nothing should hinder our brightness as believers. We need to shine for Jesus. Don't walk in darkness. Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore get rid of the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So what are the works of darkness? They're the works of the flesh. You got to put it off. You got to know what you're putting off, right? Putting off the works of darkness. And that's the works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. And I'm going to go over these very quickly. You can look that up and read it later. But Galatians 5:19-21 lists the sins that are symbolic of darkness. Things that should not be in the life of somebody who claims to be saved. Number one he mentions is what? Adultery. What is adultery? It's illicit sex between married people. And then the next thing he says is fornication. Well, it's the same as married people, except this is a sin among the unmarried. And I want to say this here, and I don't want to be mean or unkind, but if you haven't gotten married and you're living together, and you say, well, we're not having a relationship, that's hard to believe. But at any rate, if you say that, your testimony is rotten. You won't have a testimony if you're doing that. You're to get married and live together and married, not unequally yoked. But fornication is the same sin among the unmarried. Uncleanness, what's that? Well, he describes it there, and it's filthy thoughts. It's having a filthy mind. Some Christians, both men and women, teenagers, have filthy minds. He says, that's not light. Lasciviousness, that's debauchery. An appetite that he says that knows no shame. And as I said earlier today, we're living in a culture that just doesn't know much shame. They're proud of what they are and who they are. And they'll let you know right away they're proud of it. The LGBTQ plus, minus two, minus four, all of that, plus anything you want to add to it. And I'm not trying to be unkind. They can be saved, and God wants to save them. But the Bible is very clear about that. Very clear about that. And they are proud of it. They're proud of it. And so debauchery is an appetite that knows no shame. Idolatry. What does it mean? Putting anything before God is idolatry. I want you to do a quick inventory of your life. Are you putting anything before God? Think about it for a second. Are you putting anything before God? I talked to a man once, and I was telling him, I was inviting him to church, and he said, I'm not going to go to your church. He said, I have all I need right here. I have the Bible. I'm right here in my home, and that's all I need. I don't have to worry about that. I believe the Bible, and I believe in God. And so I wanted to tell him, but I was kind enough that I didn't tell him. I don't think I did, as I recall it. But I wanted to say to him, well, if you have a Bible, you ought to read it. And if you read the Bible, you'll go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where the Bible is clear, clear. Forsake, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what the Bible says. And if he has all of that in the Bible, read the Bible and you'll go to church. Amen? You will if you read the Bible. And I wanted to say here too that watching television and live stream is not a substitute for going to church. If you can go to church, you ought to be at church. There are things you get at church, and that's a whole different message, but take my word for it. There are things you get at church you're not going to get anywhere else. There are things that are to your advantage if you come to church, because God said we should be in church. The same thing with prayer, studying our Bibles. We let things pull us away from that. Did you read your Bible much this week? Did you spend some time in prayer this week? How much? I hope you spent a good bit of time in prayer. But if whatever pulls you away from the Bible and prayer and church is an idol in your life, it's an idol. It takes the place of God. Then he mentions witchcraft, consulting mediums and the dead. That might be a primary place for some of them in a Baptist church somewhere. But anyway, it's not here, okay? Variance, that means quarrelsomeness. Some of you, that's about what goes on in your home. Quarreling, husband and wife. I'm going to tell you, if you're saved, you ought to be serving God together in unity before God. Variance, emulations, constant desire to excel other people, to be greater than them, to have more than them, to have more materialism than them, comparing ourselves with the Joneses and the Smiths. I don't know if they're rich or not. Or the Weavers, anybody else. Comparing ourselves with anybody else so we can be elevated. And we think that's a primary thing in life. I've got to impress my relatives. I've got to impress my peers that I've got this and this and this, and I'm going to get more. Friend, that's not of the Lord. All of those things. Wrath is simply anger. Some of you won't forgive people. You got to get over that. Anger, God does not honor. Are you angry at somebody? Are you bitter at somebody? I don't care what they've done. The Bible says you should forgive them. If they won't forgive, take the forgiveness, and they won't forgive you, then that's not your fault. But it is our responsibility to do that. I'm just hitting these things. An old Puritan said, I'm determined to be so angry as not to sin, therefore to be angry at nothing but sin. If you want to get mad at the devil. If you want to get mad at sin. Get mad at these things that are wrong. Strife, The Greek word means factions, one group against another. That happens in churches. Seditions, divisions, heresies, teaching what opposes God's word, envying, not being content. Are you content with what God? I don't mean by that that you don't have any drive and try to improve yourself, but do your best, and whatever you have, be content. God is where we find our contentness. We must find it in the Lord. Murderers, and by the way, you can kill people by killing their reputation. You can kill them by giving them a broken heart. Some young people give their parents a broken heart and about kills them. In fact, I think I've seen some in my ministry over the years that's what really brought them down, a broken heart over that. Revelings, that's the Greek word komos, and it means orgies. In other words, literally it means letting loose, doing whatever you want to do, rioting, all of that kind of thing. And then he summarizes it by saying, and such like. And such like. Anything like it. Present continuous tense. And such like. Galatians 5:21, they which do practice, that's what he's talking about. They which do such things, who practice such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They who are in the habit of doing such things, the Bible's clear. People who live that kind of lifestyle probably have never been saved. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's your practice and that's your lifestyle, friend, you're lost. And then he talks about good works. We need good works. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. All of these things should be true. And then that allows your light to be shining good. And it shows other people by your works. And then we notice that the light is the gospel. In other words, we're to share the light. We're to share the light. God tells us to do that. John 1:7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, talking about John the Baptist, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, to bear witness of that light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. That'll have a lot to do with bringing him to Jesus Christ. Take your light out of the warehouse. Get out there where people are living in darkness, and win them to Christ. And the word shine there is a Greek imperative. It means a beam, radiantly, brilliantly beaming. In other words, shine your light with all the might that you have. Let your light shine, your lives shine, your deeds shine. You see, the only God that some people know, the only thing they know about God is you. They look at you, say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm a believer. And they look at you and say, that's God. He represents God. She represents God. And the only Jesus so many people know is your personal testimony. How you live your life and your testimony. And so we've got to do that. And I was reading a sermon sometime back by Dr. Criswell. And he made mention of the fact that the lost are the saved are the guiding light to the lost. And we are. If we don't tell them how to be saved and demonstrate how to be saved in our lifestyle, in our verbal witness, how are they going to be saved? Anybody else going to do it? No. It has to be us. And then shining your light brings resistance. If you shine your light, there's going to be people that won't like you. Just shine it everywhere anyway. And their people won't like you. It'll bring resistance. John 3:20, for everyone that doeth evil, the unsaved, the people of the world, hateth the light. They don't like the light. That's why they don't like you. Neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be approved. The light reveals stuff. They don't like you around. And the woke crowd doesn't like you. I know why it started. I know that there were some good intentions, but I think they veered way off of their original course. They espouse many liberal views. One of them is they stand for Planned Parenthood. and killing babies in the womb. And one of the dear ladies that was here this morning walked up to me after the message and she said, "Have you heard about California?" And she gave me some information about that, about the fact that they'll kill the babies in the womb, and then after the baby has been born for a good period of time outside of the womb, they'll kill the babies. I don't have anything to do. I'm going to be in resistance, and they're going to be in resistance to me, because I'm going to tell them God said that's murder. Now, the gender identity crowd, listen to this. I'm going to give you a definition of gender identity. I know I'm plowing in a bunch of beehives, but I'm going to go ahead and say, no, you're not that way. It's the other ones, yeah. Gender identity is your deeply held inner feelings of whether you are female or male. Both or neither. That's really good, isn't it? You could be a male, you could be a female, you could be both. You don't, may not even be either one. Son, that just blesses my blesser all to pieces to know that. I'm telling you. That helps me. And a leading candidate for the Supreme Court right now. Somebody asked her, "Can you define what a woman is?" She couldn't do it. She said, "I can't define what a woman is." See, she didn't want to be unpolitically correct. Well, she'd go to Genesis 2:22, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Right? And so when God took the rib and made Eve, there was no doubt in Adam's mind, and he said, "Whoa, man, I like this." Amen. I'm not sure he said that, but he got the idea. I'll guarantee you. The cancel culture, if you don't agree with their liberal positions, you will lose your job. They'll put you down and ostracize you and all of that. And they're saying about us today, said, "You Christians are getting what you deserve. You've been canceling our culture for years. And now you're just getting what you deserve." No, 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 no. We're just telling you what God said. And what God says is right. Amen. And we're not going to vary from what God says. And God is the greatest person, as far as I know, as far as cancel culture, but he's got it right. Amen. He does it right. He does it right. And so we take biblical stands about abortion, killing, stealing, all of that kind of junk that's going on. But God has canceled sin. He does, and he'll cancel it in your life if you'll get saved. But we have a culture of sin. But here, keep your light shining. Where? Well, everywhere you go, work and everywhere else, but why not get on a school board? What's wrong with that? Why did Christians get off of all those things? Get on the school board. Get on the city council. Some of those things. Public office. Just stay straight when you get there, all right? We need the salt and the light out there where that stuff's going on. And some of you could run for that. And some of you could do that. And some of you could be involved and stop some of this Disney World stupidity type stuff that's going on in our schools. So don't be ashamed. Stand up for light. You are the light of the world. And then let me say, Satan doesn't want people to see the light. He does not want people to see the light. If you're here today and you're not, listen to me, if you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you're going to heaven, you're here today not by accident, and I want to tell you that God is going to speak to your heart and probably already has about some things, but let me tell you something. The devil does not want you to listen. He wants you to be smug and proud, and throw your shoulders back and say, that stuff, that's for sissies. No, it isn't for sissies. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto you. You see, the devil does not want you to know that you're a sinner, Jesus died, paid your sin debt, and he'll save you if you'll accept him as your Savior today. You don't have to go through catechism or anything else. All you got to do is say, I'm a sinner, Jesus, I need you. You died and paid my sin debt. But the devil will start giving you all these things to keep that out of your mind. Philosophy. People go and Satan blinds their mind with philosophy. Philosophy is always changing. It's always changing. One philosopher builds and another one builds on that. Another one builds on that. And he says in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. They go together. Philosophy and vain deceit. Philosophy and vain deceit go together. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments, the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s, the simple things, after the simple things of the world, and not after Christ. So you go and sit under some PhD. A lot of our students get out of church, and they go their first year in college, and some PhD is lecturing to them and tells them they came from monkeys and all that kind of stuff, and just bash the Word of God, and they think, boy, that's PhD. And then, like the little girl went to school and came back and said, Mama, am I a monkey? Did I come from monkeys? She said, no, you didn't. You act like it, but no, you didn't. But did I come from monkeys? No. Well, why? She said, well, the teacher said we did. And the book that I have says we did. And then I asked her, I said, well, why do we believe that? She said, well, that's what science has taught, and we always believe what science teaches. That's a worldly philosophy. It leaves God out. That's the problem. So philosophy and vain deceit are there together. And philosophers, it goes back to Socrates and Plato, and their errors are just perpetuated over the years. And I've got to hurry. Judaism. When by the time Jesus got here, the Jews had built up human wisdom and philosophy. That's what they had. They didn't know the difference between the Old Testament and tradition. There's a lot of people now in churches that don't know the difference in tradition and the Bible. We need to know the Bible. Mark 7:5, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men. Talking about washing pots and cups and all of that. They had come up with so many traditions, it was ridiculous. Ridiculous. Mark 7:9, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition, your own tradition. Truth is the revealed, this is the revelation of God. That's truth. Amen. Truth is revealed through God and through God's Word. That's where truth comes from. So you have science and evolution and astrology. Julius Caesar practiced astrology. Alexander the Great practiced it. They thought the stars promoted them, and they thought the stars dominated their lives, and they turned to paganism. Paganism says, we have the answers, and we'll tell you the answers, but they don't have the answers. And here's another thing the devil will use to blind you, try to keep you from getting saved, and that's religion. Religion. There are probably going to be as many people that die and go to hell because of religion as anything in the world. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about religion is one thing, Christianity is another thing. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Preachers, seminary teachers, seminaries, all of that. That's what he does. He's good at it. And people are deceived, and they get religious, and they go through traditions and all of those things, and yet they never get born again. What you need to do is throw away all of that perversion, religion and all of it, for the Word of God. And I tell you, my truth search is over. I'm not trying to figure out who I am and all of that. My truth search is over. I found it right here. I found it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the truth for all of us. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2, 9 and 10, and ye are complete. You're complete, complete, complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Listen, friend, if you're in Jesus, you're complete. Amen. If you're not, you're not complete. Then walking in the light is evidence that you're saved. Give me just a couple more minutes. Walking in the light is evidence you're saved. We are children of light, he says in John 8, 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And what he's saying to us, if we're saved, and we really are saved, we're not going to be unequally yoked with the world. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with darkness? Businessmen, one saved, one not saved, that won't work. Going into a marriage, one saved, one not saved. You say, well, I know one that did. Probably that was the exception, my dear friend. You don't need to be unequally yoked. You just need to walk in the light as evidence that you're saved. And then we will someday dwell, hallelujah, in the city of light. Amen. We will dwell in the city of light. Won't be any darkness there. It won't be allowed. It's a city four square, 1,500 by 1,500 by 1,500, and it will be, I think, in a cube, and it'll be marvelous, it'll be beautiful, gates of pearl and streets of gold, and the Bible says in Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon. Why? Don't need the sun, don't need the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. Jesus is the light thereof. So we need to rehearse a little bit so we'll be ready to get up there where the light is, where it's perpetual light. Now here's closing out. If you're saved, listen, you are the light of the world. You men, you women, you teenagers, you're the light of the world. Here's the question. What are you doing with your light? What are you doing with your light? What are you doing with your light? You're the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Are you sharing that light, witnessing? Are you putting it under a bushel because you're proud and you don't want anybody to think you're one of those screwball Christians? Some Christians here and some in other places right now perhaps are backslidden. What happens when that happens is your light dims down. It just goes down, down, down. And it has very little impact on anybody or society or anything else. One reason we're in the mess we're in is because Christians have not been letting the light shine. We just haven't. We have grown dim. We have decided that casual Christianity is fine with me. Don't bug me. Don't bother me. I'm comfortable. I'll just tread along right here, put it in spiritual cruise control, and just don't bother me. I'm going to do my thing. That's it. Some are backsliding, and your light is low burning. And then a lost person, as I said earlier, Satan does not want you to know the light. Some of you here today are not sure you're going to heaven. The devil's going to fight you in this invitation. I'm telling you, he will fight you. He does not want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He is a master at trying to make you reject Jesus Christ for whatever reason you can come up with. But here's what's going to happen. When you die without Jesus, you're not going to the city of light, but he will drag you into outer darkness, into hell. Hell is a real place. And listen to the Bible, where it says in Matthew 8:12, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to tell you, hell's not a pretty picture. You say, well, I thought hell was fire. How can it be dark if there's light? Have you ever seen a big fire and I've talked to firemen who've gone into those fires and they can't say anything in front of them, hardly. Because there's flame, yeah. There's smoke. And the Bible describes it. It's not a pretty picture. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But I've got good news for you. Jesus loves you and he'll save you today. I don't care what you've done, where you've been. I don't care how deep you've gone into sin. I don't care what your lifestyle is. If you'll come to Jesus, he'll save you today, and you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. Amen. The city of light, you are the light of the world. What are you doing? What are you doing with your light? Let's stand, please. You'll have prayer. God is speaking. Whatever he speaks to you about, you do what he says to do. That's the right thing. If you're not saved, friend, step out and come today and just say to one of these workers down here, I want to be saved. Listen, I'm telling you, the devil's going to fight you right now. He's going to say, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And suppose you listen to him and he causes you to reject Christ and you go out of here and you get killed and you die and go to hell. You don't want to do that, friend. You say, well, I'm going to live till I'm 90. All right. You can guarantee that. That's fine. But I'm telling you, you ought to be saved today. Let God speak to you. Father, help those of us who have let our light get a little dim. Things in our life don't belong. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to throw off the things of darkness. And I pray, dear God, that there might be a revival spirit. Some of us need revival. We're lukewarm, and our light's dim. And I pray that we'd pray for it today. Then help that soul that is nearest hell right now, that they might come to Jesus and be saved today. In his name we pray, amen.